Well, turn with me this morning to 1 John. We're in chapter 5, and you can, of course, turn in your bulletins and find the text printed there as well. 1 John chapter 5, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 5 this morning. And let's read these verses together. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. And by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? I'll never forget the first time I was in Panama City. Well, maybe not the first time, but the first time that I was old enough to remember anything. And we were driving around the city, and my father was driving a car that we had borrowed. And we drove into town, and I could not believe the way people were driving. And I'm sure you all have had this experience, maybe downtown Philly here, but at least in other countries where you come from. People just do not seem to care about stoplights and stop signs and different rules, lines on the roads, things like that. People just do whatever they want to get wherever they want to go. And at first, especially as a teenager, as I was when I was in Panama, I thought, oh, this is great. This is fantastic, like a video game or something. You know, just driving around aggressively, doing whatever you want to do. And then you start to realize, you know, a lot of these cars are kind of banged up. And it looks like maybe this isn't the safest way to drive. And you start reading about statistics, about fatalities in car crashes in other cities in different parts of the world, and you realize that as exciting as it may be to ride in a taxi in Istanbul or whatever you may be, it isn't the safest way, because the rules are there for a reason. And the rules actually protect people, and as oppressive as they may seem, and frustrating sometimes to sit at that red light when you know there's no one going across, you know that there are rules, and we obey the rules because they're there for a reason, because they actually provide safety. And the same way, there are rules in Scripture. There are commandments that are given to us, and sometimes we feel the same way about those commandments, like honoring our father and our mother, or keeping the Sabbath day holy, or loving our enemies. And we think, oh, that's no fun. We don't want to do that. It's too much work. But we know that God's commandments are given to us for a reason, just like the traffic laws are. How do we respond, then, to commandments in Scripture? How do we react when we just don't want to obey? And how many of us have responded in our hearts the same way that our children may do when we give them commandments, with just frustration and anger and disobedience? Well, we're going to see another way this morning, a way that John lays out for us. So this morning we're going to see, why do we feel this way about commandments? And how does Scripture help us to change our perspective, help us to change the way we think about God's laws? But first, let's look at the rationale. In other words, why do we feel this way? John uses the term burdensome in chapter 5 here. In verse 3, he said, His commandments are not burdensome. That is, they're not a burden to carry. They are not hard for us to stand up under. And we could ask, well, what does that mean? And we don't have to think about it long before we know exactly what he's getting at, because sometimes we do feel like God's commands are burdensome, like they're just too much work. So there are a couple ways that we fight against commands. First, there's an inner struggle. In our hearts, we hate to obey because we're selfish. And we say things like this. We say, keeping God's commands is too restrictive. That is, it ties me down. If ever there was a time when the church and its rules seemed a little bit overbearing or too much, it was in this first century when John was writing. Because the Jews had taken the Old Testament and all the commands that were given, and they had really made that the test of whether or not you were a good Jew. And they had taken the law of God and they had written it out carefully into a list of 613 specific commands. And some of them were general, like, you shall have no other gods before me, you shall not covet, things like that. But some of them were more specific, like, you can't have any garments that mix linen and wool together. And so, it would not be unreasonable for a person in the first century to think, yeah, the commandments of God are a little bit burdensome, just because of the experience that they were having there in John's time. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus talks about the Pharisees and the Jews and the way that they had tried to force all of these hard laws on God's people. And Jesus said, they tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders. And Paul calls this sort of bondage a yoke of slavery in Galatians 5. So John knows that people have this in the back of their minds when they're thinking about commandments. And today, lots of people in this world think that to be a Christian is to obey. I was talking with my neighbor recently, and we were talking about what it means to be a Christian. He's not a believer. And he said, well, I don't drink and I don't cheat on my wife, so I don't think I sin. For him, being a Christian was just keeping the law and doing what was right. And Jesus said, that's not really what it's about. It's not about commandments. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and said that he had done everything to please God. He had kept these 613 commandments since he was a youth. And Jesus said, well, go sell everything you have and come and follow me. Jesus was after a commitment of the heart and not just obedience on the outside. John says here, your commandments are not burdensome. And Jesus tells us the same thing. He says, come to me, Jesus taught us, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, Jesus doesn't come to us with a list of do's and don'ts. He wasn't happy with the Pharisees and the scribes and all the restrictions that they put on the people. And Jesus took the Old Testament and just boiled it down to the heart. And he taught that the Christians have to be concerned then with two simple commands: to love God with all your heart, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And Paul says that the yoke of slavery has been broken. We've been set free through Christ. So yes, there are rules, but Jesus promises these rules are not too restrictive. Jesus says, my burden is light. A second objection arises when we say, but keeping God's commands is no fun. It's burdensome because it takes away from all the enjoyment of this life. Maybe you've had people say to you, oh, you're no fun, when they ask you to go out with them and do something that you know wouldn't be pleasing to the Lord. And let's face it, sin can be fun for a little while. Moses had the opportunity to stay in Egypt, and he was royalty, and he had a wonderful place to live, and all the pleasures of this life were his. But he chose instead to follow the Lord. The Bible says that instead of enjoying these fleeting pleasures of sin, so there are pleasures he was enjoying, but instead of enjoying them, he chose to obey, and God used him to do wonderful things. And it may seem like fun to look at that magazine, those pictures, or to gossip about someone else. We all have sins that kind of dangle before us and tempt us and say, come and do this. This will be great. You will love this. This will be so much fun. But we know in our hearts it is not right. It is not pleasing to the Lord. What seems to hold such great enjoyment for us, if it's disobedience to God, will only end in destruction and sadness. But don't lose heart, because the Bible does not teach that being a Christian is then only about being sad all the time and not enjoying good things, because what God offers us is Himself, which is far greater than any pleasure that we think we will find. The greatest joy is to be filled with God Himself and to be satisfied forever with the goodness and love of Jesus. Psalm 16 says, "You have made known to me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So there is great pleasure in a relationship with God, and we'll find that when we are walking with the Lord, then the joys of this life, when experienced in obedience to God, are even greater. The things that we thought we would enjoy, which were against God's commands, we find there's punishment there, but if we obey, we find satisfaction and we find joy. And there are great pleasures in this life God's given to His people. So it's not that God wants you to be unhappy. God's given us His Word to make known to us His law, because the law gives us the opportunity to please God, which is where we find joy. Just like the lines on the road give us an opportunity to be safe and to be protected. So the pleasure we seek is really in following God with all of our hearts. So we have this inner struggle to sin, and it's a constant struggle. We are always fighting against it. We are sinners to the core. And we will always, while we are in this life, struggle with temptations to disobey. But Jesus is clear that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Scripture is clear that the real joy and pleasure then that we look for comes with obeying God. But not only is there an inner struggle, but there's also outer pressure. Pressure from the outside. We don't feel like obeying because the world around us pulls us away from our first love, away from Jesus Christ. So we see outer pressure, and that is from the world and its lies. In the Garden of Eden, there was only one rule. Don't eat of the tree. And you see from the very beginning that Jesus' burden is light. They could eat from any of the trees. There were great pleasures offered to Adam and Eve in the garden, and only one rule, but Satan came and lied to them and deceived them and tried to convince them that God's commandment was burdensome, that it was so ridiculous to be so restricted and not be able to do whatever you wanted, to have all that freedom that would be so liberating for them, to be so small-minded to think that you could actually die from eating a tree. And so Eve ate it, and she gave it to Adam. And that's exactly the lie that Satan gives to us today. He says, God doesn't love you. These commandments are too hard for you. You don't have to keep those commandments. God didn't mean it. We think about the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day. God gives us this commandment to rest. What a joyful commandment to receive, that God would say, work for 6 days and take a break. And yet we fight against it because Satan lies to us and tries to tell us that, no, if you use this extra day to go do something that would be more fun than worshiping with God's people, then you'll be happier. Satan is lying to us and trying to get us to be discontent with God's laws. And yet the law of God is perfect. And it's just what we do need. It's to rest. And we find when we obey, we're satisfied and we can enjoy the special day that God gives to us. Satan is the prince of this world. And so what we see around us is an entire kingdom that Satan rules. If you remember a few weeks ago, we talked about the world. When John says, don't love the world, don't be like the world. We said that is anything that's ruled by Satan. And it includes all the things from our former way of life, the way we were before we found Christ, that is the world. And that is what comes to us and tempts us again and again. The world, Satan, wants to deceive us. And the world comes to us with lies. There's a hollow promise that if we have a certain amount of money, then things will be better, and then we'll be happier. So we're tempted in all sorts of ways then to maybe be a little bit dishonest on our taxes perhaps, or to lie to get ahead at work. And we begin to hold the things of this world a little bit too tightly. My, I have to have it. And we value our stuff more than God, and we've fallen into sin, and it's burdensome to fight against that lie. Well, the world lies to us about relationships. I heard from another neighbor recently, she's never going to get married again. It's just too messy and it's too much work. And so now she's just going to live with her new boyfriend indefinitely. She's been lied to. And that's the message of the world. In parts of Europe, 50% of the children are born outside of marriage. Because the world tells us that the command for a man and a woman to marry before having sexual relations is just too much work. It's too hard. It's too burdensome. Why would we have to do that? And so millions are led away into sin. The world works to convince us that God's commands are just too difficult to obey. So there's pressure from inside our hearts because we're selfish. And there's pressure from outside, from the world, to disobey. As we look at verse 4 and 5, we will see, secondly then, the solution. If we were answering the first question, why do I feel this way? And now here we are asking this question, how do I change? How can we find joy in obeying God? How can we serve Him with gladness? Is it possible to withstand the steady stream of lies that comes at us? Well, yes, it is. And John tells us how in these verses. John says, His commandments are not burdensome, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So here's the key in John's mind then, because it's the world that deceives us about God's commands, we're only able to feel that God's law isn't burdensome when we are able to overcome the world. So you see the connection here between the first and second sections of this passage. The hope of the believer, then, is to be able to overcome the world. And the first thing we see is that we have faith in our champion. This is the first way to victory. The foundation for all that John writes here is found in the Gospel of John, in the Gospel he wrote in chapter 16, where Jesus says, "Don't worry about persecution or suffering or ridicule or deception, because I have overcome the world." And the book of Revelation, which John also wrote, tells us about the last days when we celebrate Jesus as our great King and as our leader, who's worthy of all praise because He is the champion of His people. He represents us because He was slain for the sins of the people, and He defeated death through the resurrection. And so that's the fuel behind our victory, is Jesus' victory. Jesus overcame death and sin and the world at the cross. The power of the world and Satan has been broken. But the text here says that we overcome the world. Well, Jesus overcame the world. How is it that we overcome the world? Well, it's our faith. That is, we believe the gospel, the good news, that Jesus' victory is our victory. That as we express faith in Jesus Christ and we believe that He has done this wonderful work for us, we are connected to Christ in such a way that everything that Jesus did and won for Himself, He wins for us. And that victory is our victory. John says that it's faith that overcomes. And he goes on in verse 5 to say that it's also belief that Jesus is the Son of God, which in verse 1 we've heard means that we are born of God, to believe that. We are born of God. We are God's children. Jesus is our brother. We're connected to Him. So we have faith. And faith in our champion gives us the victory. We sing together, "Faith is the victory that overcomes the world." That's exactly what John has written here for us. So faith in our champion is the foundation of this victory. Also, we see that there is victory because there is familial trust. Now, what I mean is that as a family, we can have security together. What happens is that we are born again into God's family by faith. And the book of Revelation equates the Christian calls the Christian the one who overcomes. And after each letter that's written to the seven churches in Revelation, John has a promise to the one who conquers, the one who overcomes. That's the characteristic of all of God's children. We are the ones who overcome. We are together as a family overcomers. And isn't it amazing the way that love in a family relationship fosters obedience? As children grow older, and as their love for their parents matures, you find that the children are more willing to trust their parents and to obey them with a more responsive heart. And what once seemed to be a burdensome command, when it's given from a loving father to a child who loves and who trusts, then it's no longer so oppressive, but it's a chance to show that you love. It's a chance to show by obeying that you trust your Father. So it is with us, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And know that the commandments of Scripture really do seem difficult sometimes. That's why John has written this to us. Loving your enemy, forgiving as Christ forgave. But the key that we see here is that it doesn't have to be burdensome. You may be at a point where you are ready to give up on doing what is right. It is too hard. It doesn't seem like it would ever be worth it. No one else at work is doing what is right. Why should I do what's right? It seems like it's a burden. Well, don't give in to this world. There is good news this morning because the power of the world has been overcome, and we are connected to a great champion, Jesus Christ. And there is an escape then from Satan's temptation because we're part of a loving family. And so when we are tempted to disobey, we remind ourselves of the promises in a text like this that say, no, when I obey, God promises that He will bless me. God promises that obeying is not too hard for me and that I can do it. The power that I need to overcome this temptation is in Christ. And so we cry out to Christ, give me strength to stand up. Give me strength to do what is right and not to cave to the pressure of the world. And so this morning I challenge you then to rest in that love of God, to trust that God knows what is best, that the rules He has given to us are indeed for our good. To not squirm under the instruction of the Lord, but to embrace it as the source of great joy. To love the commands of Scripture. Sin and the world will disappoint you with their empty promises of satisfaction, but you will never be disappointed when you obey. So as I close, and I pray that the words of David in Psalm 119 will be the cry of our hearts here this morning as we reflect on what is good news in this text. David wrote in Psalm 119, lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Amen.